John 10, 1 through 21. Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gates, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls out his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. The wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father." The Jews who heard these words were again divided. Many of them said, "He is demon-possessed, raving mad. Why listen to him?" But others said, "These are not the sayings of a man possessed by a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind?"
And welcome to Lifeway Church. My name is Alvin, and let me just begin by thanking you. Thank you for remembering to set your clock last night. So I didn't want to come this morning and be the only person speaking, but thank you for those who are here in physical Lifeway Church, and also thank you for those who are worshiping from your homes. A special welcome to you if this is your very first visit to Lifeway Church. We certainly are glad that you're here worshiping with us. We consider it a privilege of ours to be able to worship with you. But if this is your very first visit, or you've been missing a couple of Sundays here and there, we are in the middle of a message series called The Book of Jesus, and it actually started way back in September of last year. This is only but year one of a five-year comprehensive preaching plan that Billy has for us. And this is his love for us. This is his prayer and his hope is that we would not be reactionary Christians. And what he means by that is that he wants to teach us how to be grounded in the scriptures, to really be grounded in the scriptures. And for us to go through this five-year preaching plan and to be able to explain in our own words rather easily how each chapter in the Bible, how each passage in the Bible contributes to the big picture of God's redemptive plan. And something will happen to you, something will happen to me when that happens. We will be a much more complete church, a church that pleases our God, and we would be more mission-minded, and we will be a more thankful church. So, are you ready? Okay. Once upon a time, there were two people who entered into the fold of the sheep. One enters through the door. The other one does not enter through the door. He climbs in some other way. He climbs over the fence or something. The one who enters through the door is the shepherd. A doorkeeper recognizes the shepherd. So he opens the door and lets him in. The one who does not enter through the door is not the shepherd. He is a robber or a thief. Now, when I say those two words to you, then if you're like me, you can kind of tell that there's a subtle nuance and difference between a thief and a robber, right? But they have something in common. They both steal. That is what they do for a living. A robber or thief profits himself. That's why he's there. He profits himself at someone else's expense. And that is the definition of someone who steals. The thief or robber avoids the door because he would not be recognized by the doorkeeper, and he would be stopped at the door. It is necessary for him to go into the fold of the sheep in some other way other than through the door because he's up to something no good. When our kids were little and I could sense that they were up to something no good, we're all parents here, and I don't know why, but God has given parents a sixth sense, right? Then when our kids are up to something no good, we kind of know. And so I go to my kids and I say, hey, Rachel, Abigail, Naomi, what are you up to? And they were laughing already. Some were even missing a tooth. And they said, nothing. And I said, is that nothing, nothing? Or is that something, nothing? The shepherd calls each one of them by name and leads them out. The sheep hears the voice of the shepherd, and they follow him. A stranger will call, but nothing happens. The sheep will not follow him because the sheep does not know this voice. It is a voice that they don't recognize. So they will not follow him. As a matter of fact, in verse 5, the Bible says that they would flee from him. In the first century in Palestine, shepherds do not shepherd the same way that we shepherd in the 21st century today. In the 21st century, we shepherd using sheepdog or sheepdogs. But in the first century, they shepherd their dogs, not their dogs, they shepherd their sheep using their voice. You have sheep of two shepherds mixed together, and they're grazing the grass together. And when it is time for the shepherds to go their separate ways, to go their opposite ways, then the first shepherd will stand a distance from the flock, and he begins a call. The second shepherd will stand also a certain distance from the flock, and he too begins a call. Now, what happens next is truly remarkable. The sheep belonging to the respective shepherd, they will move and they will follow him because they recognize their voice. It is a voice they recognize. A man may look like their shepherd. A man may dress like their shepherd. A man may walk like their shepherd. A man may even smell like their shepherd. But if it is not the voice of their shepherd, they will not follow him. It's truly amazing. If you want to know who is the shepherd and who is the stranger, look at the sheep, because the sheep will tell you. They will flee from one, but follow the other. As long as both men do not open their mouths, there is no way, it is impossible for you and me to know who is the shepherd and who is the stranger, because they both the same. They dress the same, they walk the same. But once the men open their mouths, the sheep will start to move or not move. The sheep will not move, or they will follow the shepherd. The sheep always follow the shepherd. Look at the sheep, and they will tell you who is the shepherd and who is the stranger. Jesus obviously did not wake up that morning and said, "Let me go into the crowd and offer them a tutorial about sheep or shepherd." But rather, he calls this a figure of speech. And what he's trying to do is to use this narrative as a metaphor to make his point. The fold of the sheep represents the Jews. The shepherd represents Jesus. The sheep represents those who belong to Jesus. And the robber or thief represents the Pharisees. In the first century, the Pharisees were the ultimate authority in the Jewish law. If you had a question about the Jewish law, if you had a question about interpretation of the Jewish law, you would go to see a Pharisee. Everyone respects the Pharisee. But Jesus does not think they were all that great. Jesus does not think that they were all that special. They did not care for the people. They would not sacrifice for the people. While they looked like genuine shepherds, they were not shepherds. As a matter of fact, Jesus called them thieves or robbers. And the reason why they called them thieves, he called the Pharisees thieves or robbers, is because they had a hidden motive. They had a hidden agenda. And they would dare to profit themselves. So they did not care for the people. They would not sacrifice for the people. And if that was not bad enough, they preyed on the people. They preyed on the exact people whom they were supposed to protect. In the same way, the shepherd enters the fold of the sheep and calls his own sheep by name. Jesus came to call on those who belong to him by name. He knew all of their names. These were the ones who were part of God's elect. In the Gospel of John, chapter 6, verse 37, it says that all that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me, I will certainly not cast out. The big idea in this narrative is that Jesus is unlike the Pharisees, who have their hidden motives. He is the true shepherd. He is the legitimate shepherd. Beginning in verse 7, Jesus says, "I am the door." Some Bibles say gate. I think Martha said gate too. And I'm fine with that. I think NIV has gate. But if you look at the Greek word, it is truly the word for door. It's thoros. And I think I understand why the NIV Bible editor chose to use gate. Because it is much more natural for you and me to think that sheep will pass through a gate, right? Instead of sheep will pass through a door. But nevertheless, I'm fine with gate. But the point here is that Jesus is the door. The sheep must enter through the door to reach safety. There's only one door for the sheep to go in and out and find pasture. What Jesus is saying is that he is the only way to eternal life. Jesus said it best himself a little bit later on in chapter 14. It is a verse that you and I would recognize. So John chapter 14, verse 6, says, Jesus said to him, referring to Thomas, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." The Bible says all who came before Jesus were thieves and robbers. The Pharisees would not and did not lead the Jews to eternal life. The only way to eternal life is through Jesus. Jesus is the door. Jesus came so that those who are his may have life and to have life abundantly. I want to be clear. When Jesus said that you and I come to him to have life and to have life abundantly, Jesus was not talking about having riches or prosperity. God does not promise us frivolous things like that. So the question becomes, what did Jesus mean when he says that we would have life and have life abundantly, have the abundant life? Well, if we look at the context, I think Jesus is referring to the eternal life. The abundant life is the eternal life. The eternal life is the abundant life. So Jesus' point, the big idea in this section, is that Jesus is the only door to eternal life. Then, starting in verse 11, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd." This is the part where most Christians are familiar. I am the good shepherd. Once upon a time, there were two men. One was the hired hand. The Bible says the hired hand is not a shepherd. He looks like a shepherd, but he is not. The other is the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Today, if you were to say to someone that you work as a shepherd, I think what most people mean is that you have sheepdog or sheepdogs to do most of the work, and you just sit there and look pretty. I hope I didn't offend any shepherds in the room. But in the first century, if you were a shepherd, it was hard work. And more significantly, it was dangerous work. If you recall back in the Old Testament, in the book of 1 Samuel, David talked about a time when he killed a lion and a bear while protecting his father's flock as a shepherd boy. So being a shepherd in the first century was really dangerous. A good shepherd will do anything to protect the sheep, including the sacrifice of his own life. In contrast, the hired hand will not lay down his life for a sheep. He makes no such promise. When a wolf or a bear shows up, he disappears. If he were to hang around and try to save the sheep, well, that's a lot of risk. He may get killed. He may get injured, break a nail. I mean, he's going to skip town. The hired hand is not the owner. He is merely the employee. Therefore, if something happens to the sheep, the owner loses, but he, nothing at all. So naturally, he doesn't care what happens to the sheep. If there ever was a situation with the sheep, he's out of town. He flees because he is only concerned about his own safety. He flees because he's only concerned about himself. It is not hard to tell who is the shepherd and who is the hired hand. When the danger comes to the sheep, the one who is nowhere to be found, he's the hired hand. The one who didn't move an inch, well, he's the good shepherd. The Pharisees were supposed to be shepherds to the Jews, but they didn't do what they were supposed to do. They didn't care for the Jews. They didn't think of the Jews as someone belonging to them. They just enjoyed the status of being a Pharisee. And as if that was not bad enough, they took advantage of the exact people whom they were supposed to protect. And there was a time in the Old Testament when God said how furious he was with the shepherds of Israel who didn't do their job, who didn't do what they were supposed to do. So let's take a look. Check this out in Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 34, verse 4 through 5. "Those who are sickly you have not strengthened. The diseased you have not healed. The broken you have not bound up. The scattered you have not brought back. Nor have you sought for the lost. But with force and with severity, you have dominated them. They were scattered for lack of a shepherd, and they became food for every beast of the field and were scattered." Jesus is the good shepherd. Because he is the owner of those who belong to him, naturally, it matters to him what happens to the sheep. He will do anything to protect those who are his, including the laying down of his life. When they are in danger, when the sheep is in danger, he doesn't leave. Nobody runs toward a dangerous situation. Jesus did. He He went to the cross. This is why in the book of Hebrews, he is called the great shepherd of the sheep. So Hebrews chapter 13, verse 20 through 21. Now the God of peace, who brought up from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the eternal covenant, even Jesus our Lord, equip you in every good thing to do his will, working in us that which is pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Jesus is the good shepherd. The big idea here is that Jesus is the owner of the sheep. He is not a hired hand. And this changes everything. Today's passage is a passage familiar to many Christians. It is the story where, it is the section in the Bible where Jesus says that I am the good shepherd. And many Christians remember this passage. And how should I say this? But to me, some Christians treat this passage of I am the good shepherd as one coherent narrative unit. And this is not my view. Verse 1 through verse 6, Jesus says he's making a comparison between him and the robbers and the thieves, right? The Pharisees. And so he says that he is the shepherd. He is a person who enters by the door. Verse 7 through verse 10, he says that he is no longer the shepherd. He's no longer a person. He is the door. So he went from a shepherd to a door. And now verse 11 through verse 18, he goes back to say that he is the good shepherd. He is no longer the door. He is a person. So he went from a person to the door to a person again. In addition, while verse 1 through verse 6 talks about the presence of a robber or thief, verse 11 through verse 18 talks about the presence of not a robber or thief, but a hired hand. And a hired hand is very different from a robber or thief. And so for these two reasons, I do not treat this chapter 10 passage as one coherent narrative unit. When Jesus says that he is the door, the second narrative, he is not explaining the first narrative. And the second and the third narrative is not explaining or clarifying the first narrative. And so, in conclusion, we ought to be looking at this passage as three separate narratives. They all fall under the same theme of sheep and shepherd. Each narrative mentions something about sheep or shepherd, but it's teaching us collectively something about Jesus. In my opinion, we are to pick up three teachings, not one, from this passage. If you notice, the beginning of this passage begins with truly, truly. It says, truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter by the door into the fold of the sheep, but climbs up some other way, he is a thief and a robber. A discourse never begins with the words truly, truly. If I were to come up here this morning and begin my message and I say truly, truly, that would be weird. But rather, the words truly, truly signal to us that there is some kind of a connection between what is to follow and what came before. And not only that, but what the author is about to say demands our attention. For this reason, chapter 10 must be understood in connection with what came before. Chapter 10 in John then must be understood in connection with the story of Jesus healing the blind man in chapter 9. If you recall, Jesus met a man who was blind since birth, and he spat on the ground, not the blind man, the Jesus. Jesus spat on the ground and made some clay, put the clay over the blind man's eyes, and he told him to go to the pool of Siloam and to wash himself. And guess what? It's an incredible story. The blind man since birth was healed. He could see. And everyone was so amazed. Everyone was rejoicing with him. Everyone was so happy. Everyone, that is, except the Pharisees. The Pharisees were not rejoicing with him. The Pharisees were not happy. They were upset that this man, born blind, was blind since birth, was healed on a Sabbath. Now, I don't know why Jesus keeps doing this stuff, you know? He keeps on doing these miracle things on the Sabbath and keeps getting himself in trouble. Oh, come on, that's funny. So then began a whole interrogation. They brought the man in and they asked him so many questions. And then they even brought in his parents and they asked him the question, how did he open your eyes? And then a few moments later, he asked them the question, how did he open your eyes? Well, it's just the same question over and over again. So the blind man said, I told you already and you did not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? You do not want to become his disciples too, do you? The man said a little bit later, since the beginning of time, it has never been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a person born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. And when he said this, he made the Pharisees look foolish, and he made the Pharisees look small, and they didn't like it. So finally, the Pharisees said to the blind person in John chapter 9, verse 34, they answered him, you were born entirely in sins, and are you teaching us? So they put him out. Did you catch that? It says, so they put him out. It means that they threw this blind man since birth out of the temple. And when they threw him out of the temple, this was symbolic. It says that he's no longer inside. He's on the outside. He was now outside the blessings of God. Jesus couldn't be more furious with the Pharisees. They were blind. And they were blind guides to the Jews. They led them astray. The Pharisees put the blind man outside the fold of the sheep. Jesus took the man who was blind since birth, took this man who was put outside the sheep and brought him into his own flock because he believed. We would not understand why Jesus says, I am the true shepherd, I am the door, I am the good shepherd, apart from reading John chapter 9. He did not say that he was the true shepherd, the door, the good shepherd, out of nowhere. John chapter 10 was a reaction to John chapter 9. Jesus said he was the good shepherd, the true shepherd, the door, in reaction to the Pharisees' decision to put out this blind man. As you read today's passage, what things do you learn about Jesus? Why did God feel it was necessary for this story, these three narratives, to be included in our Bible? What are we missing if it is not found in our Bibles? Number one, Jesus is good. There is no evil in him. There is no hidden motive. He is not up to something no good. He warns us when there are people around us who are trying to harm us. Everything he does is motivated by his love for us. Jesus is good. There is only one who is good. Number two, Jesus tells the truth. If you noticed, Jesus says, truly, truly, in the beginning of the passage, which some Bibles translate verily, verily, but it doesn't matter. Truly, truly can also be translated, I tell you the truth. Jesus says a lot of truly, trulys in the Gospel of John. If you think that this is the only time he says truly, truly, no. This is only one of 29 times in the Gospel of John where he says truly, truly. Why does he say that? He is trying to say in words that you and I understand, pay attention. I am speaking the truth. Hear me. Very few things in our world gives us hope, because very few things in our world is reliable. Jesus is reliable. Jesus' word is reliable. It is okay for you and me to put our trust in his word. We have a great hope in Christ Jesus. Number three, Jesus knows us intimately. Jesus said twice that he is the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. Jesus knows us. Jesus knows us even though we are many. The God of the universe knows each one of us by name. The fact that you and I are even here on a church, in a church on Sunday morning, and we have faith, is because sometime in the past, God called our name. Number four, Jesus gave himself for us. Jesus said, the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I lay down my life for the sheep. Everything Jesus endured was for us. When he gave himself into the hands of the Jews, it was done for us. When he was scourged, when he was beaten, it was for us. When he went to the cross at Calvary, it was for us. A good shepherd lays his life down for the sheep. He will bring us safely to the Father. John chapter 10, verse 25 through 28, Jesus answered them, I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, these testify of me. But you do not believe, because you are not of my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. I invite the praise team to come up. Jesus is the true shepherd. He is the door. He is the good shepherd. When Jesus said that he is the true shepherd, he is the door, he is the good shepherd, this signals to us that as his disciples, we can have rest. We are safe. We can be secure. He will lead us home. There are a total of 7 or 8 I ams in the book of John, depending on how you count. But each of the I ams is written in the Greek in the indicative mood. What this really means is this, is that it's a declaration. He is declaring something about him. And each time when we hear these I ams and we meditate on it, it adds, it builds, it does something to us. It builds in us an understanding of why Jesus is the Christ. And this falls very nicely into Billy's prayer and hope for our church. That's his plan. He tells me, and you know, he walks into my office and he tells me that he's what, 63? Sorry, Billy, for revealing your age, but you know, he says that he does not know how much longer God is going to give him. But this is his attempt to love the church and to one more time teach the basics and the foundation of the Christian life so that we can not only react, I mean, it's good to react, but so we would know the word and we would know how to respond and know how to live our Christian life no matter what comes our way. That is his love for us, that is his prayer, and that is his hope.